Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you're now tuned into the Investor Show. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time. I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So today's episode, we're going to have a very interesting episode. We're going to have a very thorough episode. We're going to be talking about the interest rates hitting an all-time low. We're also going to be talking about the interest rates hitting an all-time low. We're going to be talking about Uber's earnings. We're going to be talking about Square. We're going to look into Square's earnings. And we're also going to look into see if it's worth an investment and how earnings a lot of times bring great opportunities for investors, right? So, but first, if you're catching this live, don't forget to say hey and hi and where you're from and where you're checking in from and how you're doing this Friday afternoon if you're catching live. If you're catching the playback, don't forget that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. But as always, ladies and gentlemen, we got a very interesting topic. I don't have a lot of time. I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing we're going to get into, we're going to talk about the I'm getting a little glare there. I don't know why I'm getting a little glare. Okay. But today we're going to talk about, first thing we're going to get into our mortgage rates. Mortgage rates hit an all-time low. What does that mean for investors? So let me share my screen here and talk about the mortgage rates. Coming from our good old mortgage and Barency, the mortgage MBA, our mortgage association, right? Right here. Let's go here. Where am I at? I'm going to share my screen here. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, they tell you, right here from the Mortgage Brokers Association, the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage with a jumbo balance greater than $500,000 decreased to 3.5% to 3.52% with the points increasing, right? So that's on the jumbo. So here you go. The average contract of interest, which most people have, the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage with conforming loan balances of $510,000 or less decreased to 3.14% from 3.0. So right now, the average 30-year loan under $510,000 interest rate is 3.14, which is a historic low. What does that mean? When you have low interest rates, they have a tendency to drive up prices of stocks, right? So that's the no interest rate they have. So let's take a look here. Let's see what you guys and girls are saying in the comments. Proud Dad, what's up, Prince? At work board. Okay, Proud Dad's down in Atlanta, Georgia at work board. That's all right. All right, Miss Ruby from Memphis, Tennessee. All right, Miss Ruby, how you doing? Huey Ho, hello, Prince from Hawaii. We got Hawaii, Memphis, Atlanta. Okay. Woke One, hi, bro, in Virginia. Been waiting for your input on this one. Okay, nice, nice. We're going to go through it together. And Ruby's, she's from Memphis, Tennessee. I think we already said her. And we got somebody named D from St. Louis. So we got St. Louis, Memphis, Virginia, Hawaii, Atlanta, right? And he just refinanced and got a 3% flat. Great. So the average right now is 3.14. And interest rates are going down even more. You know, I'm looking at refinancing myself because I seen that I could be eligible for a 2.5. So definitely looking into that 2.5. But, you know, that's interest rates are very low. So when we have very low interest rates, that means that housing prices have a tendency to go up. People can afford more house, right? Woke One said, what is your input on Amazon CEO selling $3 billion in shares? 3 billion shares for Jeff Bezos, that's nothing. I mean, when I look at a company selling its shares, I pay attention to it. But if you know the finances of the company, you won't even consider about it. If you know Amazon is a great business, if you really read the company, know the company, you won't have any doubts about it. That's why today we're going to jump into earnings, Woke One. We're going to jump into earnings because when you know what's in your bank account, right? Now, let's take it for example. In your bank account, everybody knows or should know their financial situation. You know how much money you got coming in on your income statement. You know how much money you got on your balance sheet. You know how much money you got cash flowing in and out of your company, right? Are you going to be overly concerned when somebody call you broke? Probably not. Or somebody calls you rich? Probably not, right? So if somebody calls you broke, if somebody calls you rich, you're probably not going to care because guess what you're going to say? You know what's in the balance sheet. It's the same thing. When I see earnings report come out and I see all the financial bloggers say, oh, this company is horrible, it's good, it's bad, I'm not overly concerned because I know the finances of the company. I don't base it off of what he said, she said, because you know what's inside of those books. So I don't look at Amazon like that. All right. King Carter says, looking sharp. Thank you. You know, I tried to spiff it up a little bit today. You know, spiff it up just a little bit. Thank you. Thank you. Looking sharp. Facebook. Okay. We got Concord, North Carolina. North Carolina's in the building. Okay. So, all right. So the first thing we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, interest rates go down. That drives up housing prices. So the house I got today, I probably couldn't afford it last year because of interest rates. Interest rates would have probably been 3.5. I probably would have got a 4% interest rate, meaning that I could afford, when interest rates are house, you can afford less house, right? When interest rates are down, you can afford more house because you're paying less on interest, more on the particular house, right? So then, you know, of course, you got to worry about property taxes and the area you live in could be high tax, all the other good stuff. But for the mortgage itself, you're looking at when interest rates drop, more people refinance. When the federal government lowered the interest rates drop, more people finance, more people can qualify for more house now. So the reverse effect, when interest rates are at an all-time low, what's going to happen when interest rates start to go back up? Because we know they have to go back up, right? Switch this back around here. We know interest rates have to go back up, right? So when interest rates starts to go back up, what do you think is going to happen to housing prices? So people who didn't qualify last year, not qualify. That's the things you have to look at. All right. So ladies and gentlemen, the first thing we're going to talk about, we're going to jump into Uber. We're going to jump into Uber first. Uber just released their earnings. So I thought I already had that one pulled up, but it's okay. I had it pulled up in another platform, but we're going to pull up Uber earnings. They just released their earnings yesterday, and the stock dropped 5%. The whole market was down today. Uber stock dropped 5%. So when I look at a stock drop, I wonder why did it drop? What caused it to drop? And I look into it myself. So ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at it ourselves. So we're going to look at the investors' relations because I like a little pretty presentation sometimes. All right. So here we go. So ladies and gentlemen, when I'm looking at Uber, my first question to Uber is the path of profitability the same? Is the path to profitability the same? Hold up. I'm sorry. Wrong screen there. I'm going to pull up the other one. Y'all give me 1 second. There we go. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Uber presentation they put out yesterday. I'm looking at their path to profitability. So, here we go. Let's see what the company has to say. So, right here, they talk about Uber today. They talk about the mobility, the delivery, the out-of-business bets, the path to profitability. Everybody knows Uber is not profitable. The question is, will they become profitable? So my whole thing is, what I'm looking at, I'm strolling all the way down here. This stuff is important. But one of the things I'm looking at is, when is this profitability going to happen? If you've really been following Uber, Uber plans to be profitable by the end of this year. But that changed when the COVID came in, right? So let's go. Let's go here. Here we go. They're talking about freights. I like these little cars they're talking about bringing out, the ride sharing cars or whatnot, Toyota vehicles. They're talking about partnering here. Oh, I forgot. They did put in a partnership with Toyota to kind of put these little ride share cars. I think they're going to drive themselves. Where you're going to be able to get in one of these little buggies and it's going to take you up and down where you need to go. I thought that was pretty cool. They're looking at having that automated. So right here it is. This is the bread and butter, ladies and gentlemen. Path to profitability. Now they're talking about reaching profitability in 2021, pushed back by COVID-19. So this is one of the things I saw. Here we go. Q1, they were down. You see this. They were down 31%. Then they went down. Then they came up to only being down a negative 23%. Then third quarter, they came down to only being a negative 17%. Then in quarter four, they slowed down a little bit, and they were only they were only down by 16%. Then quarter one, you know, good old COVID came through and knocked on everybody's door. They went down. So they were supposed to be profitable. You can see they had a constant quarter-to-quarter margin improvement. Then all of a sudden, it started to slide because the impact of COVID, because of people not taking that many rides anymore. People are not taking many rides anymore, but you can see the Uber Eats business doubled. So now you're seeing first quarter, they was down 19%. Now they're down 14%, and they announced a $1 billion cut in costs. So they started cut costs, and right here, they're looking at being profitable by 2021, achieving quarterly profitability, and they're looking to be up by 25%. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the bread and butter. People ask, when are we going to make money? When will Uber make money? You see this right here. If it can achieve, because you can see right here, ever since it came out, it's been down 31%, down 23%, down. It looked like it was about to go. They were saying, hey, by the time we get into 2020, we're going to be profitable. But COVID came through and had other plans. So now they're looking to be profitable, having profitable quarters. If this thing turns profitable and they start to turn profitable quarters, and their long-term target is to be up 25%, this is when this stock is going to go over $100 if they stand on plan. So when I look at this stock, I look at it and say, okay, has anything changed in Uber? Is our road to profitability changed? And they told you, hey, look, we were doing pretty good. We got cut down due to people not taking as many ride shares anymore, but they went out and purchased Postmates. Their Uber Eats business doubled. So we're looking at Uber earnings for anybody that's checking in. So now you have, so right here, they have an exercise incentive for fixed cost discipline. They're looking to invest in high margin, sustain low cost products. What does that mean? High margin. Let's take me for example. I'm an author. It costs me $5 to create a book. I sell the book for $8. There's only a $2 margin there, right? I only profit $2. So they're looking to invest in the things that cost $1 to make, and they can sell it for $20. That's a high profit margin, right? So they're looking at investing into things with high margin and a low cost product. Costs a little bit to make, but you can make a lot of money off of it. There are plenty of things that go out there that you can make a lot of. Let's take tennis shoes. Let's take a pair of tennis shoes in China, maybe cost $10, if that. But you can come to the United States and sell them for $150. That's a nice profit margin. So that means every shoe you sell, you're going to make $110. And you add the math, then that's a nice profit. Versus some companies, let's say if you make cookies, the cookies cost you $5 to make, then you sell them for $8. That's not a whole lot of profit margin. So they're looking to acquire deep engagement with high-value platform customers. So they're looking to even buy even more companies. They're looking to invest in product and technology to innovate, continuously improve user experience and operational effectiveness, right? So they're talking about they're looking to be profitable by next year. If Uber does this, they're still on the plan. They got slowed down because of COVID. If you can do this, this is when this stock is going to skyrocket if they become profitable. This is the finances, ladies and gentlemen. We knew, and look at this. Look at the strategic partnership they're doing with for the people who can't see this catching a podcast. They're looking at what you have right now in front of you. These are pictures of self-driving cars by Toyota and Volvo that Uber is experimenting with, and they're looking to partner with them. So now it won't even be people. Now, if you're in New York, who's been in Las Vegas Boulevard? You know, it's very hard in Las Vegas Boulevard to walk that big, long boulevard. But imagine if it was a little self-driving little, almost like a cart. You just hopped in a little cart and boom, jumped in, and it just whoop, took you up the road 3, 4, 5 miles, almost like what cabs do today. And you just got off and went on what you had to do, right? Or if you was in New York and it took you to the nearest subway. So here we go. They're talking about they're looking to raise $1 billion from Toyota, Denso, and SoftBank in 2019 with the ability to raise future capital. Key strategic partners, they're looking to integrate with Toyota, Volvo, and DeSony for a deep risk path to commercialization. So, you know, they're looking to partner with these guys, and they're already working on this, right? So their freight business is doing all right, but the big business that they had to be the Uber Eats. I mean, the delivery services. They opened up a grocery store they talked about. They talked about their Japan market, the European market, all of the good stuff. So let me see what you guys and girls are saying in the comment section as we go through this. He said, Proud Ed says, hey, speaking of that book, where can I order one for my son? For everybody that's out there that want to support me, hit the like button if you're coming through. Anybody want to support the project, Wesley Learns, they are pretty much everywhere. They're on Amazon, they're on iTunes, BarnesandNoble.com. There's some places I don't even know where they sell them at, but you know, as long as they cut the royalty, then I don't really care. But they sell them all over the place. If you type in Wesley, you can go to WesleyLearnsToInvest.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's WesleyLearnsToInvest.com. These are children's books on investing, credit, and insurance. You know, I published three books, about me and my son with Wesley, where he does a path where we learn about investing, we learn about credit, and we learn about insurance. Very kid-friendly book series that you can give to your children, nieces, nephews, to introduce them as early as possible to investing. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what you can do. We got Toby here in Atlanta. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is when we're looking at this is the presentation. You can log in and get this presentation when the CEO of Uber gives this presentation, right? You know, Facebook, I appreciate that. There it is, WesleyLearnsToInvest.com. That's where you can go and get all the books. They have hardcovers over on WesleyLearnsToInvest.com. They have paperbacks, and they have ebooks. But the audiobooks are available on, I think it might be on Spotify, but I know they're on iTunes. I know that they're on Audible. So you can get the audiobooks. So they're audiobooks, ebooks, all that great stuff. All right. Woke One says, does Uber Rideshare need to be profitable in order for the company to be profitable? See, this is the difference, Woke One. Uber, right now, they have three big entities that's making the money. They have Rideshare, they have Uber Eats, and you know, the Eats, you know, the food that they have, a delivery service, the mobility service where they're taking people around, and then they also have the freight service. So the bulk of their money when they started out was delivering mobility, taking people around. They don't now, the business that just doubled was Uber Eats. Why did the delivery service double? Because of profitability, right? Not because of profitability, but because of COVID-19. COVID-19 is one that took their business up, right? So that's the way you can look at it as well. So that's what they have to be with profitability. So now we have, who else we got in here? So now let's take a look into Swear. Where's Swear at? We're going to pull up Swear's earnings report. Y'all give me one second. Where is Swear? All right. Boom. All right. Scroll on down here. I forgot about it. Swear, they put their earnings look a little funny, but okay. Let's look at their documents for the second quarter. All right. So here we go. We got Swear. We got the company called Swear. Let's take a look. If you don't understand what Swear is, but I'm not a big, crazy understander of Swear. This was requested by me, right? All right. But I understand what it is as far as I've used it, and you know, everybody pretty much use Square, where you kind of put the little thing on your card and it makes money through transactions. So here are the financial statements. From December, we've seen their cash. Okay, unaudited in thousands. Okay. So okay, 600,000 total current assets, 3.5 million in assets, which their assets grew. Hold on, I don't like that. Why did they give me to June? No. One second. I don't like this quarterly report. No, that's the old one. That's 19. That's showing me June 30th of last year. That's no good. I thought that was going to be this year. Why do they want to show me that for? All right. Yeah, give me one second. They have it pulled up over here. I don't like when they... Okay. One second. Let me pull this up. Let me stop sharing this one. Well, maybe we can look at this shareholder's letter in here as well while we're over here. We'll take a look at their letter real quick. This is their letter to the shareholder before we look at those raw numbers, right? So their highlights of the second quarter. Second quarter of 2020, we achieved a profit of $595 million, up 28%. That's good. Year to year, Y over Y, year to year, they have a nice profit. That's cool. Cash App delivered. I don't know, Square, they got the Cash App. I didn't know that. Okay. Cash App delivered strong growth with gross profits of 167% year to year to $281 million. Our seller ecosystem generated a profit of $316 million. Down. Okay, so their gross profit went down. So then they say customers increased use of Cash App as a way to send and spend money. In June, Cash App, more than 30 million monthly transaction active users with more than 7 million spent on the Cash Card. Our seller ecosystem is quite a unique position. And the fact that GPV, I didn't know that. That's something I didn't recognize through Square. I didn't know Square was in bed with the Cash App, but okay, cool. So right here, the total net revenue year over the year, they're up. Revenue is up. Gross profit is up, but they netted an $11 million loss. So their gross profits is up. The total net revenue is up, but they netted a loss. Don't like that. Gross profit volume, but I got to look into the business more. Why are they losing? Maybe they may address that. Let's look at some of this here. To our shareholders, okay. In the second quarter of 2020, total net revenue grew 64%. Gross profits grew, our Cash App ecosystem. We remain focused on helping Cash App customers access broad financial services, including Cash Card. In our seller ecosystem, gross profits went down over the year's second quarter. That's the thing I'm trying to look at. Why did it go down? Fourth quarter, okay. Oh, okay. Financial results for seller ecosystem excluded Caviar, which we sold in the fourth quarter of 2019. Oh, that's why they, okay. See, this is how you got to read the financial reports. So when you look right here, they're telling you, hey, we netted a loss. Remember, I was wondering why did they net a loss? They sold a portion of this system called Caviar, I think it's called, right here. They sold a portion of their business in the fourth quarter of 2019. They sold fourth quarter 2019 and Cash App. Okay. So that maybe can explain it. Another seller, GBP growth volume declined in year-to-year, GBP trends. Our seller improvement sequentially driven primarily by sellers resuming operations. As COVID-19 restrictions ease, customers are increasing spending, selling, adapting to contactless commerce, and new sellers joining the Square. Okay, so they're pretty much saying that more people are looking for less contact and they're going for ways to move money. Like I always tell people, when I look at things like Square and PayPal, money is already digital when I look at it, right? When I evaluate it, money is already digital. Okay, one second. King Carter said, what website you can use to pull up the earnings? I try to pull it up via E-Trade. However, the file won't open. So ladies and gentlemen, y'all help out King Carter here. For people that are catching this live, where can you go get the earnings on any company? What website? We got somebody on Facebook saying hello. Hey, how you doing? So King Carter asked a question. What website can I go to pull up the earnings? What website can I go to look up any publicly traded company's earnings? I'm going to give y'all a second to comment, you know. He said to the company website, that's one. But to pull up any company across the board, how can I pull up a company's earnings report? Any publicly traded company, Apple, Microsoft. Yes, you're right. He's correct. You can go to any company. Like I said, you can Google Square Investor Relations. You can pull up Uber Investor Relations, Amazon Investor Relations. You can just Google all that stuff and it'll take you to the financial reports. Go into finances. But what is another website where I can get every company's earnings? One website that I can go to and I can search any publicly traded company's earnings. All the 10Q reports. There you go, Kathy. Ding, 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 ding. Chicken dinner for Ms. Kathy. Where are you from, Ms. Kathy? Or Mr. Kathy, I don't know. But SEC, Security and Exchange Commission. the Security and Exchange Commission, SEC.gov. You can go to the SEC.gov and you can search not only the financial reports, any report that the government, any report that a publicly traded company, okay, from California. Okay, we got Ms. Kathy there from California. So the SEC.gov, you can go to the SEC.gov, Sierra, Echo, Charlie.gov. You can go in there. Once you're in there, you can go to, you can type in, I don't know, Berkshire Hathaway, and it's going to give you every report. The SEC was created in 19, let's do a little history lesson. The SEC was created in 1934. Why was the SEC created? Who knows why the SEC was created? The SEC is the governing body over all the publicly traded companies. Why was the SEC created? What happened to make the SEC become created, right? So a good financial question here. And they are the governing body over all publicly traded companies. They are the investigative body. They're the ones who put out the standards. They're the ones that everybody, you must open up all your books. So Yahoo and CNN Business, they're all getting their information from 10Q reports, 10K reports, 8K reports, Form F report, Form 4 reports, 13F reports. All of these reports are coming from the SEC. Why? What historical event happened? They are the regulators. You're right. They are the regulators. What happened that created the SEC? SEC was created. It was part of the Act of 1934. And I'm just going to give it to you guys and girls. But it was created part of Act of 1934 in response to what happened in 1929. What happened to stocks in 1929? Y'all should know this. You have to know why you are seeing certain things. This is why you can understand, right? So every company, every publicly traded company has investor relations department. You can go to the investor relations on any company to get your information. But the governing body is the SEC, SEC.gov. The SEC, ladies and gentlemen, let me see what you guys and girls said. Proud Dad, you got it. Because of the market crash. The market crash of 1929. Did you know before 1929, a lot of people didn't even know what financial statements were? As an investor, you could not read earnings. You put your money into a company. You don't know what the company did with the money. The company could steal your money, do all type of stuff, right? So part of the response of 1929, when we had the largest stock market crash ever that led to the Great Depression, the stock market crash of 1929 led to the Great Depression. And after the Great Depression, they said, how do we prevent this from happening? And one of the things that was created was the SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission, that is supposed to be the governing and regulator body over all your investing needs and things like that or whatever, right? So when you are looking to get a license, you got to register through the SEC. When you're looking to, if you're a publicly traded company, you have to file these forms with the SEC. Apple doesn't have to file their forms with the public. They have to file it by a certain date and time to the SEC. And the thing about why the SEC is so important is if you lie to the SEC, like if you just cook the books, just write any numbers down, and you do this, what companies do every so often, you got your Enrons out there, WorldComs, all these companies that have done it. When you cook the books, you can be filed upon a federal law. So this was to create transparency through investing. So ladies and gentlemen, that's what you need to know. Why? Who is the SEC? Why are they put into place? Why did they happen? Where can you go to get any financial report? Now, another thing you can do, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to the investor relations on any company. Go to Uber, investor relations, and you can sign up for their newsletter to have their reports come directly to you. You can have Square reports come directly to you. So this is the presentation. They go live, and they do a presentation every quarter. So now as we stroll down here, the Cash App, customers increase use of Cash App. I didn't even know Square owns Cash App, ladies and gentlemen. This is why it's important that you know this, right? One second here, ladies and gentlemen. So here we go. So I didn't know they owned the Cash App, but you can see how many people are actively using the Cash App from 2017 to 20. So Square owns the Cash App. I did not know that, ladies and gentlemen. This is why you got to read financial reports. You know, I didn't know that they were in bed with the Cash App and the Cash Card and all this other great stuff. So let's go to, we're going to look at it right now. Let's pull up Square's finances. We're going to pull up Square's finances. Where are we here? Y'all give me 1 second here. I'm going to pull up their numbers now. Let's pull up their numbers. Application window. Nope. Okay. Let's see here. I'm trying to pull up this. All right. We're going to have to do it this way. All right. We're going to put the entire screen. Now we're going to look at the numbers of Square. Here are the numbers. You know, 95% of people that buy stock don't even know what this stuff is or even look at this stuff. I'm going to share my entire screen here. Y'all give me 1 second. All right. We're going to go to the non-GAAP results. These are the thousands. Total revenue. Oh, they got some Bitcoin in here. Okay, I see that. March 2015, all the way over here to... I don't like their 10K. I don't like the way they got their earnings here. 2019, no. Let me pull up their numbers here again. Y'all give me 1 second. Let's go to, so now the Square app, we know that more people, I didn't know that. I knew that you can hook it up to your phone. You can buy it on your phone and they get a piece of all your transactions, right? Square 10K. We're looking at this 10K report. Here we go. All right. SEC, then 10K. No, we don't want to look at their last 10K. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we'll look at their 10Q. Okay. I'll give me 1 second. I should already have this pulled up. Scroll on down some more. They got all the old stuff on here. 10Q, they haven't put it out on their site yet. Call registration, webcams. Yeah, so people are looking at, okay, yeah, the Square app has helped me help out or whatnot or whatever, right? So now here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The big thing with Square, how I look at Square, for the first thing is, 1 second here, Riggs. This is why I brought the SQ, because of the Cash App. Everyone gets their stimulus check through them. Wow. Yeah, I did not know that. I did not know about Square App and Cash App. I had that 10Q report opened up. No, that was not their 10Q. That was their investor relations presentation. So what happens is they give you a presentation, and inside that presentation, I'm looking for the raw numbers right now, right? I'll give you 1 second here. So I had the investor relations. I had the investor's presentation, you know, the nice, pretty presentation, but I don't like that. I mean, that's cool for reading stuff, but I like to get to the raw numbers, right? No, I don't want to look for Square. I'm looking for Square. See if this is one of them right here. Nope, that's not them. pulling up their earnings through the SEC. Y'all give me 1 second. Sometimes it takes a little minute to get through to it, but I'm going to find you eventually. I'm trying to look at the 10K report. All righty here. All right, that's not what I want. Their stuff is pulling up in a different website, off from their website, but I'm trying to get to the site here to see where we at. No, I haven't seen anything. Let me see, Edgar Siri, okay. Nope. All right, so we're going to go here. 10Q reports. Now bear with me for a second. Company filings. Sometimes they do get a little difficult. We got Square here. All right, here we go. Now we go. There we go. There we go. There we go. No, I don't want their Form F. Here it is. I got you now. I got you now. Here we go. Now I'm about to share this with you guys and girls. Okay. So this is what I was looking for, guys and girls. Let me share my screen with you guys. That'd be this one, right? All right. So right here, this is the 10Q report. Square Incorporated. This is from the SEC website. Took a little minute to dig, but, you know, I got it. They try to hide from me sometimes. So let's give you their website. I'm not their website, their address and their phone number. That's their registered phone number. So right here, this is their financial statements. So if you don't know a lot about the company, this is where you can go here. And you could go down here. Where does it say? Is that legal proceeding risk default? No. I don't know why everybody wants to call my phone at the same time, but here we go. Right here, right, ladies and gentlemen, you have the total current assets. You can look at all the current assets of the company. You can look at their cash from December last year to now. They have $1.9 million in cash. They have total assets of $7.8 million. Last year, they had $4.5 million. Now they have $7.8 million. I like to see the assets grow. Total current assets means assets that can be liquefied and turned to cash within under 12 months. They have $6.1 million. This is why I paid attention to current assets, because when things get hard, this is where people go to pull their money from. So they went from 3.2 in December to 6.1 in June. I like to see the current assets grow. So now let's go on down here. Their total assets, they have $7.8 million. Now they have their liabilities. Now here go their liabilities. Their current liabilities, they have long-term debt of $1.7 million. $1.7 million long-term debt is not bad when you're sitting on 6.18 cash. So their debt is very controllable. They can take their money out of their account right now and pay off all their long-term debt. I like that. Long-term debt. Total liabilities, they have a total liabilities of $5.8 million total liabilities. Then they have a total assets of $7.8 million, So they have a net worth of about $2 million. So the net worth is the total assets versus the total liabilities. They have a net worth of $2 million. Their long-term debt is pretty reasonable, right? So now when I look at this, we're going to keep scrolling down some more. Total shareholders' equity. Total shareholder equity is pretty much the net worth, which 1.9, almost 2 million. So I'm not too bad about that. Their revenue. This is what's important. Now we're going to the income statement. We're going to see the money coming in. All right. Total net revenue. They have, so right here, this is all the revenue that came in. They had 682,000 subscriptions. So right here, you can see most of their money, revenue. This is where you can see the company make all this money. It made, oh, okay. They got a lot of, making sure I read that right. Okay, so they transactions, transaction-based revenue. Then they have subscriptions. Then they have hardware revenue. Then they have Bitcoin revenue. So their Bitcoin revenue is their largest revenue. That's kind of funny, right? Well, not funny, but it is what it is. That's pretty, okay. So they have a large Bitcoin revenue. So right here, their total revenue, all the money that comes in, when you're reading the income statement, this is all the different sources. So you can see how many sources of income the company has. So it has the Bitcoin revenue, it has a hardware revenue, it has a subscription revenue, and it also has a transaction-based revenue, you know? So here you go. Now you have $1.9 million of total net revenue. Now we got to look at, okay, that's all the money that came in. Now you got to pay the bills. Ain't about how much money you got coming in, how much money can they keep? So right here, they have cost of revenue, the transactions. They have to pay hardware. Wow. Look at that. See the Bitcoin cost. So Bitcoin revenue was $875,000, but the Bitcoin cost was $858,000. So it's actually a loss, which is pretty customary across the board when I see that. So the Bitcoin, they don't make any money from. So, all right, total cost of revenue, 1.3. So they bring in 1.9 million. By the time they pay all their bills, they got 1.3 million. Well, not all their bills, but the cost of doing the business. Like, hey, for prime example, something in a business, this hardware, I make money from this hardware, but to keep this hardware, let's say, okay, let's take my podcast. It costs me $100 a month to keep my podcast up and running. But if I make $300 from my podcast, of course, they're going to say, hey, you made $300, but the cost of the revenue was $100. So I profited. My gross profit would be $200. You guys and girls see that? So it's that, hey, oh, I have a podcast, and this podcast is, I'm generating $300 a month from the podcast. But when you go down to the cost of revenue, it may cost me $100 a month to keep everything up and running. So now my gross profit is $200. So right here, the total cost of revenue is 1.3. They brought in the third quarter, in the second quarter, $596,000, right? Now we got to look at the operational expenses. They got the product development, sales and marketing, general and administration. You know, you got to pay people, transaction and loan losses, acquired customers' assets, total operating expense. See, exactly. So now you are seeing the company. First, they got the revenue. The revenue was 1.9 million. Then to keep the doors open, to create that revenue, it cost them 1.3 million, only leaving them 596,000. Now they had to pay the people. They got to pay employees, keep the lights on, product development, sales, marketing, all of the good stuff like that. That cost them $619,000. This broke it down to where they're taking in a negative operational loss of $23,000. They did not profit, and they have been losing for a little while now. So operating costs, don't like that, because the company is not making money. It has to cut costs, either has to cut the cost of revenue or something like that, right? 2.23. Interest expense, net. Okay. So then they lost $23 million. Then they had to pay the interest expense. The interest expense tells me how much debt the company has, because you have to pay interest on the debt. So they netted a loss about $11,000. When they're in parentheses, that means they netted a loss. So the company's made a loss. So they made a net loss of $11,000. Foreign transactions. So when you look at net foreign transaction adjustments, if I make a bunch of yen in Japan, I went over to Japan, I made a bunch of money. I made $1,000 in yen. But I come back to America, and to transition that 1,000 yen into dollars, I may only get $800, right? So that's sometimes, and if the dollar is strong or weak, depending to a foreign currency, that's when you can have transaction adjustments. So the comprehensive loss of, it's a losing company. They've been netting losses of $3,000, right? So making good money, but they're losing money at the same time. So when I see this, I got to ask myself, hey, Kate, okay, company, what are you doing to cut back on these losses? So let's look at this. purchase of, now this is the cash flow statement we're down into now. This is the cash flow, all right? They have a negative net cash flow that's coming in. The cash flow is broke down into operational activity. Then you got investing activity. You can see where the company is investing money. So they brought some property and equipment. No, they brought nothing. No property and equipment. Payments, no. Purchase of marketable debt. Proceeds. Marketable debt securities. They purchased some there. Cash flow proceeds from insurance convertible notes. This is right here, the financing activity. This is how you can see the company is financing. Are they getting more debt? All those other things like that. So they did issue some warrants. I didn't know that. Some warranties. And they did get the PPP. Right here, you can see they got the PPP. They got $447,000 from the payroll protection plan. So they got some PPP money. They got about $500,000 from PPP. Payments for withdrawal from taxes, other financing. They issue some warranties. That's kind of like issuing debt, pretty much like a bond almost. We talked about that before. So now when I see this, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully that's something that's making sense to you guys. Yes, that's true. Yes, Cash App does have an option to buy Bitcoin in stock. The problem with that, with the Bitcoin, was they wasn't making money. They actually losing money from the sale of Bitcoin. Okay, see, well, what's going on? What's up, Prince? This is D'Angelo from IG. Okay, nice. He said, I've been bothering you about the IUS. Oh, yeah, this is OKC Boy. What's going on? No, you're fine, man. You cool. I think he's an insurance agent out there in Texas. You know, he was like, hey, Prince, what do you think about these IULs and things like that? No, I love that. You know, I love when people get into my DMs and emails and always hit me up. Prince, what do you think about this? Prince, I think you're wrong on this. And I love to do it because you guys and girls keep me sharp. Y'all keep me sharp. So what's going on? Thank you for tuning in. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is the financial report. This is the 10Q report for Square. So when looking at Square, I got to ask myself the question. Now I have to go back and look at the investor relations and ask the question of, okay, yes, you have the Cash App. More people are using the Cash App. More people, you're making some money from Bitcoin. You're making some money, all these different revenue sources. But what is the plan to cut costs? That's the problem right there with the company. The company is netting a good bit of loss, right? Why are you netting so many losses and continue to lose? Now I got to sit back in here and watch the CEO and see what the CEO has to say, right? I got to see what the CEO has to say. The CEO, you got to explain to me like, hey, we're looking to cut the costs on Bitcoin, or we're looking to cut the costs on XYZ. We're looking to, so we can, I don't want you operating on a loss, right? For my people out there who don't know what warranties are pretty much, they give you the right to be able to buy stock for a certain price in the future, almost like an option, right? So with the warranties, they give you the option to be able to buy the stock for a certain price in the future, you know, for a certain price. So they say, for prime example, you can buy 100 shares of the Square app for this price. In order to do this, you must give us this much money. So prime example, let's say Square, I can't remember the price it was trading for. Let's say if it's trading for $140. They say, hey, Prince, if you give us $1,000, we'll let you buy a share of Square for $160 within the next 5 years. So granted, if the stock price goes over $160, I make money because I can trade my warranties. I can exercise my warranties to be able to collect money. The downside to that is if the stock goes down to $100, my warranties are pretty worthless. So companies do this as a way to make money. They do this. They also issue bonds. We see companies talk about issuing bonds. We see companies issue bonds. We see companies also issue warranties. This is a financing thing. You can find this up under the financing activities out of cash flow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where you have to go fish, right? Some people sit back and watch CNN Money. They watch Yahoo Finance. They watch CNBC. They wait to be force-fed it, right? Versus you, this is coming from the SEC.gov. We just went through the balance sheet, the income statement, and the cash flow statement to look at this company. And nobody can tell me anything about the company because I know what the company is making and losing, right? Now, I would love to hear other people's opinions, what they think or whatever. I have to understand the business better. Take, for example, I know Uber is losing. But for someone who a casual look of an Uber, they may say, oh, this company is losing. That's great. We understand this company is losing. The question is this company, does it have a goal to be profitable? When does it have a when is the goal to be profitable? With Uber, I know we just pulled up. They plan on turning around 25% within the next year, right? Now I can watch them. So a person who going, they be like, Uber lost $1 billion and they trade the stock. This is what creates opportunities for investors. So you're wondering, man, why that person buying that? I just saw a bad article, because they probably know something that you don't know. They cracked open a book. They saw how the company looked. Now, when you look at it, I got to ask myself the question. Yes, Square, you're doing some great things. I'm looking at the finances, because stock, just look at the stock price and the finances is two different worlds. Because guess what? A stock price can get away from the finances. I mean, they can go way up and be overvalued, but it's like a rubber band. Eventually, they're going to come back to each other, right? It's like the saying, you get into a relationship with a woman and you know this woman is no good, but she's acting good in front of you now. Yes, you can. Yes, she can fool you for now, but eventually the real her is going to come out. And somebody told me to dress up like a clown and act like a clown for a whole day. I mean, yeah, I can do it for 5 minutes, maybe a day, maybe an hour or so, but eventually they're going to realize, hey, that guy's not a clown, right? Because that's not who I am. So the thing about it is, sometimes you always have to watch finances. And when you're watching finances, look at CrowdStrike. Look at Fortinet. Fortinet is a company that has zero amount of debt, and the stock went down 6% after releasing its earnings. This is where, if you know what you're doing, and you know, if you know what you're doing and you know what companies are, this is when you go in and buy with confidence. You don't have to tune in to watch and see, oh, okay, well, people turn on Fox Business and say, oh, this stock went down 10%. It must be a bad company. I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to sell my shares. I'm going to take my profit. But a person who understands the fundamentals of the company and the business, they're going to be like, oh, great opportunity to buy. And you don't know why they're buying. Then 3, 4, 5 years later, months later, you start seeing this company. Everybody start talking about this company, and you knew it all along. When do you sell a stock? You sell a stock when it stops making sense and stops telling you the stories that you're supposed to be attached to. Right, ladies and gentlemen? So when we look at Square, my question with Square, I think it's trading for $100-something. Let me double check the price on Square. I think it was $140 or something. You know. All right, $147 is what Square is trading for. $147. They are profitable. They have a high PE ratio, which I'm not really worried about. Now, the second thing I must do, I didn't do it here on this episode, but you now have to go to the competitors. What is PayPal doing? How does PayPal look? How does PayPal fare up against Square, right? So when you look at these particular companies, when I'm looking at Square itself, we just saw they're making good money, but then again, they're losing that same amount of money. Their debt is good. Their debt to income is good. They have enough cash in their accounts to pay off their debt. So debt is not a problem. When companies have a high amount of debt, a high amount of cash and little debt, they can acquire other things. What's slowing them down is the operations. The operations, they're making money, but they're not keeping the money. Is the CEO, is there something in their plan to where they're planning on keeping their money? Right? It's the CEO saying that. That would be something I would be looking forward to. I would listen to the web call. Listen to the web call on the finances. I can go back and listen to that. I'm not going to do it on this episode, but I can do that. I can go back into the web call, and I'll be listening. What is the CEO doing about not taking in operational losses? Is there a game plan? Is it, hey, look, yes, we're taking in these losses, but this is what we're planning on doing. This is how we plan on executing it. We're looking to purchase other companies. We're looking to do XYZ. We're looking to do blah, 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 blah. Then I will become a fan of Square. But that's how I look at it. That's my synopsis. With Uber itself, Uber traded down 5% because people are like, oh, it lost $1 billion. That was to be expected. This creates a great opportunity for investors because now I can go in Uber was like $34 before the earnings came out. Earnings came out, the stock went down to $32. I could put in a call option for Uber, 33 strike, December. Uber called 33 strike, December. Because I know, boom, the whole market went down. The whole market went down. They're looking at, oh, this company's unprofitable, whatnot. That gives me 3 months for the company to go back to where it was, and you're going to make a profit. That's what I mean by people taking earnings to make a profit. You only can do that if you understand and know the company. If you understand and know the company, that's what you would do. All right? Hopefully, y'all got something out of that, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to do a quick recap. We talk about mortgage rates being an all-time low, 30-year mortgage fixed. It averages 3.14. You're talking about people are getting 3% interest rate. Some people are refinancing, getting below 2. But what does this do to the housing prices, right? This is driving housing prices up. So what's going to happen when interest rates start to go up? Now people are not going to be able to afford certain houses, right? So you have to look at your house, how much is it going to cost and things like that. So mortgage rates at an all-time low. Great for people who have credit and have income and can go afford a house. But for people who don't have the credit, who don't have the income, and when these housing market interest rates starts to go back up, what's going to happen to the housing market, right? All right. So the other thing we got into, we looked at Uber earnings. You know, we saw Uber. They're looking to, you know, they brought Postmates. They put a delivery service out. They're losing money. They lost even more money because the people are not taking rides anymore, but they made their business and Uber Eats doubled. Right. You know, they purchased Postmates and they plan on being profitable by 2021, having profitable quarters of 25% or more. That's when that stock is going to really take a run. All right. We also look at let's see what we got. King Carter here said, thank you. As always, I learned a lot. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. I'm glad I could help you out in any other way. Right. So remember, King Carter. Now, let me ask you this question, King Carter. Let me see what you learned today. Where can you go to get the financial reports of companies? 95% of people that buy stocks don't even know what a financial report is. They're waiting on Fox Business. Shout out to Fox Business. They're watching CNBC, and they're just waiting on them to tell them what happened. And I'm going to do that one day, too. I'm going to do an earnings call probably next week. I'm going to look at a company that's doing an earnings call, and I'm going to tag in and I'm going to display the earnings call. I'm going to show you the earnings call. We're going to listen to it together, right? So ask yourself this question, King Carter. Where can you go to get those earnings reports? We just went over Uber, but then we went over Square. We broke down Square. We pulled up the 10K report. We went straight through their balance sheet, the income statement, and also we went through their, what you call it? She said, LOL, King Carter on the spotlight. Exactly, right? King Carter, you asked that question. I want to see, did you learn it? Where can you go to go get the SEC reports? So where can you go? Well, they don't give away the answer. Good God about it. But where can you go get the financial reports? I want to see you type it. So the thing about it is the financial reports, we just went through the balance sheet, which tells me the money in the bank. That tells me the assets and the liabilities. We went through the income statement that told me how much money was coming in and going out. Then we also went through the cash flow statements, which can tell me the three pieces of the cash flow statement. You had operations and you had financing and you had investing, right? We saw where they was investing their money, what was financing them. We even saw they got the PPP loan. We even saw they got $447,000 in PPP. Swear. Nobody had to tell you that because you read the financial reports. All right, then we talked about how this brings in an opportunity for investors. I looked at Uber Drop. I looked at, I can take advantage of this right here, quick, easy, and fast. Boom. I can go buy a call option with a three-month call option on Uber because of the earnings call went down and watch the stock go back up over $33 and you can cash out. I don't know, maybe make 10, 20, 30, 40% in a matter of maybe 30 days. Not a guarantee, not a recommendation. I'm just giving you a synopsis, an idea of how people, or how investors, when they know what they're doing, when they see companies like they've been following Bank of America and they've seen it go down, they've seen everybody freak out. You don't freak out because you understand the business. So now you invest more when everybody else takes off running, right? All right. He said, I answered before you said it. That's good. That's good. Now you understand. Also, King Carter, if you'd like to go to Square, go to Investor Relations at Square, Stroll all the way down. You know what? Let's do it here. I'm going to do it right here. I'm going to do it right here, King Carter. Since you asked me this and you're doing the work to learn, we're going to do it together. All right. So we're going to go to Google, right? We're going to pull up Google for the people that are catching the podcast. If you haven't catching the podcast, check it out. We're going to go to Square Investor Relations. I Google Square Investor Relations. We're going to go to Square Investor Relations. Now that we're on Square up on the Investor Relations, we're going to stroll on down here. All their financial stuff is here. Let's see if they got it on here. They got their events. They got people, they got their press releases. Right here, this is what I want you to do, King Carter. When you stroll down, it's going to say signed up. Sign up for investors, news, and alerts. Sign up for it. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to put it in right here. They say, Prince, what do you want to receive from Square? I want to receive the major press releases, the SEC reports, receive events, investors updates. I want to type in my email address. Prince@children.financialliteracy.org. Submit. All right, they want me to put in a little code here. 268. Hit the submit button. Thank you for signing up for Milliners. Activate your account will be sent to you shortly, right? And they're going to send me an email for me to confirm the alerts. When I get the alerts, anything that go on in the investing world with Square comes directly to my phone. You see it? Or to my email. So then I created. Yep, you're right. Diamonds are created on a great pressure spotlight. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's episode. I hope you guys and girls got something out of it. Definitely appreciate you guys and girls for tuning in. Check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and follow us on Instagram and all of the good stuff like that on YouTube, Facebook. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's episode. I want to thank all you guys and girls for tuning in. As you already know, my name is Prince Dykes. I'm the Prince of Investing. And until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace, be safe. I'm out. And